Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. December 24th, 1900. This is the birthday of Hawaii Takata. And each year during this time of year, I realize that I have wanted to honor her and have brought you programs that have had to do with remembering her, with bringing our practice back to a source. You know, we as people hope, I think, in our own families and in our own vocations to become a kind of source for people. This doesn't mean that it's about ego, it's about, you know, being a source. And for sure, Hawaii Takata, no matter what your form of Reiki is a source. She, in her travels, in her lifetime, in her early 1930s, she went back to Japan from Hawaii, where she was born, and of course met Shijiro Hayashi because she needed to have healing. And this was her choice to try out Reiki before she had an operation. And of course, we know the rest of the story. That tryout was very successful. She became a student of Chichiro Hayashi, and in a few years was able to be in Hawaii to practice and teach Reiki, and did so until December 1980, when she died. So she was almost 80 years old when she died, and she lived, breathed, and definitely was Reiki comes first. That was her life. I'd like to, though, take you back today to the very beginning of her Reiki life. You know, there have been a few private books that have been published. And one of them is the sort of infamous Blue Book of the Reiki Alliance, written, put together by Paul Mitchell and edited by myself, Paul Mitchell, and Linda Kaiser Martis, sorry. And in this book, there is a little writing from Hawaii Takata from her early diary. And this diary was written when she was in her first degree training with Shijiro Hayashi in 1934. I believe that's the year. And I'd like to read it to you and also give you a little commentary as I read. So sit back, relax. If you can, put your hands on yourself and imagine Hawaii Takata listening to her master, Chijiro Hayashi, teach her about Reiki. In my attempt to write this essay on the art of healing in limited words, I will try to be practical rather than technical, because what I am about to define is not associated with any material being which is visible, nor has a shape, nor a name. I'll repeat that, because what I am about to define is not associated with any material being which is visible, nor has a shape, nor name. Imagine. She goes on to say, I believe there exists one supreme being, the absolute infinite, a dynamic force that governs the world and the universe. It is an unseen spiritual power that vibrates and all other powers fade into significance beside it. So therefore, it is absolute. This power is unfathomable, immeasurable, and being a universal life force, it is incomprehensible to man. Yet every single living being is receiving its blessings daily, awake or asleep. Different teachers and masters call him the Great Spirit, Universal Life Force, Life Energy, because when applied, it vitalizes the whole system. Ether wave, because it soothes pain and puts you into a deep slumber, as if under an anesthetic. And the cosmic wave, because it radiates vibrations of exalted feeling and lifts you into harmony. I shall call it Reiki, because I studied under that expression. Reiki is a radionic wave like radio. It could be applied locally or as in shortwave. A distant treatment can be successfully given. Reiki is not electricity, nor radium, nor X-ray. It could penetrate thin layers of silk, linen, porcelain or lead, wood or steel, because it comes from the Great Spirit, the Infinite. Reiki does not destroy delicate tissues or nerves. It is absolutely harmless. Therefore, it is a practical and safe treatment because it is a universal wave. Everything that has life benefits when treated. Plant life, fowls, the animals, as well as human beings, infants or old, poor or rich. It should be applied and used daily as a prevention. God gave us this body, a place to dwell, and our daily bread. We were put into this world for some purpose. Therefore, we should have health and happiness. It was God's plan, so He provides us with everything. He gave us hands to use them to apply and heal, to retain physical health and mental balance, to free ourselves from ignorance and live in an enlightened world, to live in harmony with yourself and others, to love all beings. When these rules are applied daily, the body shall respond, and all we wish and desire to attain in this world is within our reach. Health, happiness, and the road to longevity, which we all seek, I call this perfection. So, for me, what she's speaking about is so beautiful, and it is really so succinctly put. One of the things that I love about this piece that she's writing is that she doesn't talk about it as coming from a Christian background or a Jewish background or a Muslim background or any other religion. She tries and is coming from an ecumenical place where it is a bit like a child who hasn't been introduced to religion or hasn't been introduced to a kind of established way of thinking about this Great Spirit or the universal life force. I really love where she says that it contains Life energy, because it vitalizes the whole system. Ether wave, because it soothes pain and puts you into a deep slumber. And we all know about the deep slumber that we can get into in a Reiki treatment, that we go away, and sometimes we find answers to questions that we have had for a long time, and sometimes we just feel so rested that we don't know how we existed without Reiki. And the cosmic wave, because it radiates vibrations of exalted feeling and lifts you into harmony. Well, one of the things that has been so beautiful for me about my life with Reiki is that without my actually realizing it, I have had this experience of living in a world that one could say has very little pain. It isn't that there's no pain, but the pain that I feel sometimes is more than sensation. It's a reminder, it's a gift, it's a way of knowing I'm alive. So pain becomes a part of my joy and my harmony, because it lets me know when I'm in disharmony. This is a part of my continued learning with this energy called Reiki, and I'm extremely grateful to Hawaii Takata for bringing it into my life. So we'll continue with her words. Being a universal force from the great divine spirit, it belongs to all who seek and desire to learn the art of healing. It knows no color, nor creed, old or young. It will find its way when the student is ready to accept. He is shown the way. Initiation is a sacred ceremony and the contact is made. Because we are associating with the divine spirit, there is no error, nor should we doubt. It is absolute. I love her use of the word absolute, because when I was working with Paul Mitchell, you know, in the early 1980s, he was very passionate about another Japanese art called Aikido. And when I learned about this Japanese art, I realized how familiar it sounded and how it gave me a way to relate to Reiki, the energy, in my own body. For me, at that point, the absolute was much too non-physical for me, and I needed to find out where Reiki resided in my body. Like, how could I know that it was real and that it existed? Even though I could see the benefit of treatment, there was still something that I just couldn't relate to it as far as my own body. So when I worked with Paul during his Way of Harmony workshops, I got to know Reiki as having substance and having effect on my own physical body. And it was a wonderful breakthrough for me. In this teaching, there was a wonderful master by the name of... what was his name? No, I can't think of it. Sorry. It'll come to me. And he was a great teacher of Aikido. And he allowed himself to have some explanation of what was happening. And he talked about the relative and the absolute universes. The relative universe is the world in which we are born. The way that I like to explain it is that the relative universe is about separation, about relationship, and about comparative. So we are nurtured in the womb in oneness. We are one with our mother. We are one with everything. And we are in the absolute universe because everything is just so. We are one. There's no separation. Imagine, no separation. So then we're born, the umbilical cord is cut, and all of a sudden, we, the one, are two. And in that moment, as a human being, we live in this relative world where we have the illusion, or we live the illusion, perhaps, that we are separated. And it is my impression that our journey is to live the separation with as much peacefulness and understanding and compassion as possible, and to make it as much of oneness as we can in our lives. Because when we die, we go back to the absolute universe where everything is one, no separation. It is just so. So when she says, because we are associating with the Divine Spirit, there is no error, nor should we doubt. It is absolute. It is just so. She goes on to say, with the first contact or initiation, the hands radiate vibrations when applied to the ailing part. It relieves pain, stops the blood from an open wound. Your hands are ready to heal acute and chronic diseases. The human beings, the plants, the fowls, the animals. In acute cases, only a few minutes application is necessary. In the chronic cases, the first step is to find the cause and the effect. It is not necessary to undress the patient completely, but it is better to loosen all tight clothing so that the patient may relax lying on the table face up. Most important is to find the cause of illness. Interesting, huh? Start treatment from the eyes, sinus, pituitary glands, ears, throat, thyroids, thymus, stomach, gallbladder, liver, pancreas, solar plexus, colon, sigmoid flexor, ovarian glands, bladder, and then front, chest, and heart. Turn patient over, treat the back, lungs, sympathetic nerve, kidneys, spleen, and prostate. During the treatment, trust in your hands. Listen to the vibrations or reaction. If there is pain, it registers pain in your fingertips and palm. If the patient has itch, it reacts the same. If deep and chronic, it throbs a deep pain, or if acute, the pain is a shallow tingle. As soon as the body responds to the treatment, the acute ailment disappears, but the cause remains. Dig into the cause daily, and with each treatment, improvement is seen. After the organs have been thus treated, I finish the treatment with a nerve stroke, which adjusts the circulation. Apply on the skin a few drops of sesame oil or any pure vegetable oil. I place my thumb and forefinger on the left side of the spinal column, and three fingers and palm flat on the right side of the spinal column. And with a downward stroke, 10 to 15 strokes to the end of the spinal cord, only in diabetic cases are the strokes reversed and arms and legs are manipulated toward the heart. The above treatment is called the foundation, and it requires an hour or more, all depending on the complications and seriousness of the case. Well, this describes our treatment. And it's very interesting for me that when she was teaching in the 1970s and 80s, and well, not the 80s, but in the late 1970s, when I first really became aware of her teaching style and went to classes with her, she had simplified this a great deal and didn't talk about the different things underneath her hands. She just said, if you can count to four, you can do Reiki. So, one, hands over the eyes and up on the forehead. Two, alongside the head, or actually the side of the face. Three, underneath the head, cupping and holding the head in the palm of your hands. And then four, on the chest. And this was an optional position until 1983 or so, when we put this into the regular foundation treatment. And then there were the four hand positions down the abdomen, and then four hand positions down the back, with an additional five, six, and seven, which ended up on the prostate, if you were doing a treatment. So then we did the nerve stroke, and the nerve stroke that she taught is quite different hand positioning than what is said in the book. We use our index finger and our middle finger to draw a line down each side of the spine all the way down to the end of the spinal cord. And for me, this does help circulation. It stimulates the nerves where we are, that come out of the spinal column at that point. And it also tells the person that the treatment is finished. And I do also reverse the direction of the stroke for diabetics. And many of our friends, now that we're getting up into our 60s and 70s, are contracting a condition of mature diabetes, or I don't know what it's actually called, but it's diabetes that develops as we age. And they say, these people say, that when they are practicing Reiki and they do the stroke from the bottom of the spine up toward the head, that it reduces their need for insulin and also stabilizes their condition quite a bit. So I don't know why that is, but it does work. I suppose the question that's hanging in the air out there is, when did this change, and when did it change? And I have to say that I don't know. I only know that this was written in the 1930s, from her first impressions of her practice with Chitiro Hayashi. Whether in the years to follow, she simplified it and did everything that was supposed to be done, but without all the sort of anatomical references I would say that that allowed her to teach anybody and everybody without being able to tap into a kind of medical context. And I think that that was really important for me anyway, because I didn't have to have medical knowledge. I didn't have to know where the thyroid was or where the gallbladder was or anything. I just put my hands on, and I knew that when I got to the abdomen, that there were all these gurglings that happened, and it was, explained to me that that was the adjustment of all the digestive system coming into balance, and that was enough for me. And I feel like there is a balance between our intuitive knowing, our scientific knowing, and our Reiki knowing, if I may use this word. Because as I practice more and more, my hands tell me what's going on. And I find that when she summarizes the feelings of her hands, that may be true, but there's another interesting stage and level to that, which I'm sure that she got to over the years, which is that there seems to be patterns of how the energy responds to Reiki if one has cancer. It's a different pattern than if one has multiple sclerosis, MS, or a different pattern if one has had an amputation, or a different pattern if one has a mental illness. So that there are not only patterns about chronic and acute, but there are also patterns about the different kinds of ailments and how Reiki enters the body and the body responds to Reiki. So, she had, after she wrote this, she had over 40 years of experience, hands-on treatment, treating people every day, mostly, and for long hours. I remember being in Hawaii, and she was then 70 something, and she was treating people sometimes for 10 hours a day. So she was extremely confident in what she knew. She was extremely confident in her hands, and definitely not just confident, but totally trusting in the presence of the energy of Reiki and what it could do in benefit for anybody and anybody. So, this is a part of the reading that I find really exciting because there is a benefit to seeing where she began, which was a very clinical kind of setting, and how she simplified it so that all of us who didn't need to have a clinical setting could accept Reiki, practice it, and allow our hands to become sensitive and, in fact, our guide to our health. We'll continue with her writing. Going through the body in minute detail, the hands become sensitive and are able to determine the cause and to detect the slightest congestion within, whether physical or mental, acute or chronic. Being strictly drugless and a bloodless treatment, Reiki will adjust the body to normal. I find this to be so interesting, where she says, being strictly drugless and bloodless. So, in the early 1900s, people were still thinking that drawing blood might relieve some of the pressure on our system. So, you know, again, we're taken back to this time and understand that it was also not about surgery. And surgery was very new then. So being strictly drugless and bloodless was a very important distinction. In about 4 days to 3 weeks, we find a great change taking place within the body. All internal organs and glands will begin to function with much vigor and rhythm. The digestive juices put out normal flow. The congested nerves slacken. The adhesions break away. The lazy colon gets organized. The fecal matter drops from the walls of the intestines, and the gases eliminate. Many years of accumulated toxin finds its way out through the pores. It is a sticky perspiration. Bowels increase dark and strong in odor. The urine increases like dark tea, sometimes white as if flour stirred in water. It lasts for 4 to 6 days, and yet I have had patients who have reacted with only one treatment. When this is established, you are assured of a big general overhaul of the intestinal organs taking place. With such a good cleansing, the body becomes active. The numbed nerves regain a sense of feeling, appetite increases, sound sleep becomes natural, eyes sparkle, skin glows like silk. With new blood and good circulation, nerves and glands restored, it is possible to rejuvenate 5 to 10 years. At this time, it is very important what you consume. In the Reiki health treatments, we are vegetarians and all kinds of fruits in season. Nature provides with plenty, but never to waste. Overeating is a sin. Eating in moderation with a feeling of gratitude to recognize the Great Spirit who is the Creator, who is the All Power to make things grow and blossom and bear fruit. Come to the table with pleasant thoughts. Never eat when you are worried. Milk, white sugar, and starches are to be avoided when the patient has a weak stomach. With proper food, the patient responds faster to the treatments. And this is the end of this writing. So, this piece, which is about the body response to Reiki, is so interesting for me. Well, when I went through my therapy last year, and then it was stopped, and I began to what I would call recover from my therapy, from the side effects of my therapy, I went through this whole process, and I feel that I'm coming up where my eyes are sparkly and my skin is starting to look better and so on. And for sure, I'm cleansing this out of my body, the toxins out of my body. It's interesting that this sentence, in the Reiki health treatments, we are vegetarians. So what they're saying is, as we take on a treatment regime, we can benefit ourselves from being vegetarians. Most certainly, Hawaii Otakata was not a vegetarian, but she also didn't overeat. And she also didn't eat much meat. She ate everything, but only in moderation. And that's something that I feel is my next challenge, for myself anyway, is to be able to eat in moderation and also with a feeling of gratitude. I think this for me has is really important because there's a lot to this eating with gratitude that is more than just being thankful that I have food or being thankful for the people who brought it to me. There's a kind of gratitude about how the divinity in me joins with the divinity of the food. And there's a wonderful book by a wonderful spiritual writer that talks about diet and about overeating as a spiritual quest, and that there's a spiritual causation for the obesity that we have in our world today. Well, I believe this because when I feel good spiritually, when I am feeling light and airy and grateful and one, as much as one with my world as I can, remembering the absolute and the relative, then I don't eat much. When I feel separated, when I feel a little depressed, maybe, when I feel tired, when I'm not able to really rouse myself to exercise properly and to be in a good space, then I start eating. So it's a fascinating thing for me to understand that our world today is going, we can maybe extrapolate that our world today is going through a spiritual crisis. And that a part of the symptomology of the spiritual crisis is the obesity that is found in most of the Western countries. There are many people who have read this excerpt of Hawaii Otakata's diary, not really understanding that it is not something that is to be used as sort of a rule, but as something to lead us back to the very beginning of her awe and her way of thinking about Reiki as she was beginning to learn it. It would be interesting, I think, for each of us to sit down and try to write, or not try, but to write our own short essay about Reiki. I know that when I was a young master, it seemed like everybody was trying to write something about Reiki because they wanted to be able to write brochures and to have something to give to people who were potential students. And sometimes some people wrote these really beautiful excerpts about Reiki, and then somebody else borrowed it, and somebody else borrowed it without a lot of times asking if that was okay if they borrowed it. And so there were these paragraphs that led us into another direction. Sometimes that direction was more what I would call medical or more physical, where there wasn't this hint, this understanding that underneath everything is divinity. And I get that with this writing that Hawaii Okata did, that even though she doesn't mention spiritual in and of itself, she does talk a lot about divinity and about just how things are very practical on one hand, but they are practical because it's just so. It's of the absolute. So, in addition to writing our little essay about what Reiki is, or how to describe Reiki in our lives, I think that it would be great if we could all lay down, give ourselves a good self-treatment, and think about this process that Hawaii Otakata was experiencing for the first time, or maybe the second or third or fourth time, as she wrote these words. This is from Hawaii Otakata's diary. I believe there exists one supreme being, the absolute infinite, a dynamic force that governs the world and the universe. It is an unseen spiritual power that vibrates, and all other powers fade into insignificance beside it. So therefore, it is absolute. This power is unfathomable, immeasurable, and being a universal life force, it is incomprehensible to man. Yet every single living being is receiving its blessings daily, awake or asleep. I often wonder what would happen if Hawaii Otakata could come back now and to see how Reiki has spread around the world, to see it become a household word, which was one of her wishes, and to see the result of her teaching. She, I don't think, felt as though she was the source of Reiki, although she was to many of us, because she was the conduit through which we all received Reiki now. But she believed that she had the great fortune to come into contact with this energy, with this practice, with Chijiro Hayashi, because that was where her life led her. And because of that, and her own personality, she threw everything she had into Reiki. She gave it 100%. When I look at my life, I think to myself, do I give 100% to Reiki? So the question for me is, where do I hold back? Where is the place that I need to make a move, that I need to know what's right for me? And I had a few days of this after I found out I had breast cancer last year. And I thought, do I do only Reiki? Do I do Reiki and acupuncture? Do I do Reiki and chemotherapy and surgery? Do I do Reiki and something else, Chinese herbs? Well, what I noticed about my thinking was that I always started with Reiki. And I ended up creating my own healthcare plan that had within it surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, and now hormone therapy, as well as Reiki treatments, specialized massage, cranial sacral work, reflexology, and now using homeopathic and herbal substances. Reiki brings me to understanding my body, to having sensitivity for my body, and to understand where I need to go for the optimum benefit. I feel that I've made great choices. And I come to that conclusion because I feel great. I don't have, and I'm not up to, peak health, but I'm getting there. And it's through Reiki that I'm getting there. So I have a great deal of respect and of admiration for Hawaii Otakata, Reiki Master. She simply did whatever it took to bring people to Reiki, and whatever it took to give Reiki an opportunity to demonstrate what can happen when you surrender your life to Reiki. Hawaii Otakata was born in 1900 to a couple who worked in the sugarcane plantation camp on the island of Kauai. They were definitely not rich. She had an eighth grade education, if that. But she was wise, wise in many, many ways. She was determined to get what she needed in her life. She was determined to learn Reiki. And I give thanks for her perseverance and her determination to find a way to enter into being a Reiki student. Because it is through her that Reiki came to Hawaii and became known throughout the rest of the world. It is through Hawaii Otakata that we receive not just the blessing of Mikao Usui and Chijiro Hayashi, their understanding of Reiki, their experiences of great and deep spiritual, perhaps we could call it enlightenment, but also the great blessing and gift of the Japanese culture at that time. The understanding of divinity, the understanding of equalness, the understanding of the relative and absolute worlds, the understanding that scholastic education isn't necessarily a measure to set human beings against, but is one way for us to stimulate our mind. Hawaii Otakata had many ways to stimulate her mind. Her hands were her textbook. Her understanding could fill volumes at the end. But because she never wrote things down, because she never set in stone what we should be feeling, we have the great opportunity to have discovery, to allow Reiki to teach us, as she put it, let Reiki teach you. And she would say that and just let go. I'm working on that too. I can say it, but can I let go? Can I let go of my own involvement in whether or not people get Reiki or practice Reiki or use Reiki to their benefit? She would just say, let Reiki teach you. Well, we're at the 30th anniversary of her death, 2010, or maybe it's the 31st year. And in these 30 years, so much has happened. And yet, it all goes back to one point. Hawaii Otakata. Let's take a moment to just close our eyes. Hopefully you're not driving. Close your eyes. Connect with Hawaii Otakata, her vivaciousness, her determination, her compassion. And bring that into our own consciousness and heart. And honor it. Let it reside. Because Reiki is from the Absolute. We are one. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.